You'll find my text in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In a moment, we're going to sing those words in Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Who will ascend? Who will go up into heaven? But the psalmist makes plain it is those who have clean hands and who have pure hearts. And that's what we see here. And our Lord makes plain in this verse here, in this beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They will ascend and they will see God in Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now today we come to the sixth beatitude. Now just briefly to recap for those of you who have not been here as we've been looking at the beatitudes. We have here eight beatitudes which set forth eight different characteristics of those that are blessed. Eight characteristics of things that identify them as being a true child of God, one who has repented of their sins. So these eight beatitudes set forth eight characteristics of the true people of God. Blessed. Now let me ask you straight away, as Jesus pronounced these beatitudes and described a people as being blessed, are you blessed? As the Lord looks down upon you this morning, does he think of you as one who is blessed? Does he see you, as we see in verse 3, as being poor in spirit? That you have mourned over sin in the second beatitude? That you are meek? That you have this grace of meekness within? That you have hungered and thirsted after Christ and his righteousness, but you still continue to hunger and thirst after good things? Is the Lord thinking of you? Blessed. Young people, you must ask yourself this morning, is the Lord Jesus Christ describing you? Well, we have here then these eight beatitudes. Last week we looked at verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. They have this compassion within, and as we saw from the Greek, it is active compassion as a result. There's compassion within, but the Greek word speaks of active compassion. Compassion that is active. And so we're reminded in 1 John chapter 3 that the true child of God will be known by the things they do with their hand, as also the things that they say. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, today we come to the sixth beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And 2 points here this morning. First of all, an amazing description, the pure in heart. And secondly, a wonderful prospect, seeing God. An amazing description. Why? Because the child of God is described as one who is pure in heart. And then secondly, a wonderful prospect, seeing God. And dear brethren, what a prospect we have. One day we will see God. We will see him with the eyes of our soul at death. And as we have just sung in Psalm 50, we will see God in Christ with the eyes of flesh when he returns. A wonderful prospect, seeing God. Well, let's consider, first of all, an amazing description, the pure in heart. And when we think of this word pure, it speaks of clean, clear. And so we go back to Psalm 24, he that has clean hands and a pure heart. We could think of pure hands or clean hands. Think here of the word pure, clean, clear. And as looking up the word pure, one definition was the pure waters of Scotland. Not in a dictionary, Bible dictionary of course, but online. We can think of the pure waters of Scotland. The other day I saw some fabric conditioner, and it's called Pure. It's good for sensitive skins. When we think then of this word pure, it speaks of cleanness. It speaks of that which is clear. By nature, one does not have a pure heart. In Job 14, verse 4, we read, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Not one. All men descending from Adam by ordinary generation have original sin, imputed, the guilt of Adam's first sin, and then original sin inherent. And we can think of the corruption within. Mankind was shipwrecked by the fall and brought into a state of sin and misery. And oh, what a state of sin man is in, and how it has affected man from the head to the foot, the sole of the foot, as we see in Isaiah chapter 1. How sin has affected the heart. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, having considered this, how amazing then is this description of the true believer? Think of what the heart is by nature, and then consider these words. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And as we think of this right at the outset, are we not led to consider the amazing grace of God? John Newton wrote, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A wretch like me? How can it be then? But here's the description. This amazing description. The pure in heart. Well, let's seek then to understand what the Lord is speaking of here. And how can the believer be described as one who is pure in heart? Well, let's consider firstly. The pure in heart are not guilty. The pure in heart are not guilty. Before one comes to faith in Jesus Christ, like so many in this world, they are guilty. And if you're without Christ, you're guilty before God. God is a judge, as we think of this. And you've been brought before him, and you're before him each day, and you're guilty without Christ. Have you ever been in a court and found guilty? Well, if you're without Christ, you're guilty now. However, upon the event of faith, one, because of the grace of God and righteousness of Christ, is pronounced not guilty. And that's a precious thing. We think of forgiveness. One is not guilty. The guilt of sin is removed. Their sins are not charged to them now. There's non-imputation. They're no longer answerable for them. One is free from the obligation to punishment. The sentence of condemnation is overturned. Not guilty. Before they were guilty, but God in a gracious way pronounces them not guilty because of Christ and his righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Firstly, they're not guilty. What an amazing description. And we have this description because firstly of what Christ has done. In Psalm 103, verse 3, we read, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, all pardoned. Christ bore the punishment for them all, past, present, and future, all forgiven. And as we think, he secured the non-imputation of them, as Fisher puts it, they are the pure in heart. Never again, dear child of God, will you find yourself under that sentence of condemnation. Never again. Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now no condemnation. They're forgiven. They're described as the pure in heart. And what a comfort that is. There will never be the prospect, dear child of God, of finding yourself under the sentence of condemnation. One of old wrote, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head and clothed in righteousness divine. No condemnation I dread. There's peace in the soul. Go in peace, said Christ to that lady who was weeping at his feet. Go in peace. And what peace we can know. Have you peace in your soul? There's no condemnation. The Puritan William Greenhill wrote, speaking of the believer, though he may and sometimes fall into foul sins, yet they never prevail so far as to reverse pardon. That's a lovely word. Never to reverse pardon. not guilty, pure in heart. Dear brethren, are we not thankful that God continues to see us as not guilty? In light of judicial forgiveness, he continues to see us as not guilty. Jeremiah Bowes writes, the first moment the soul comes to believe in Jesus, it is washed from the guilt of sin. That first moment, upon the event of faith, oh, we ought to value the forgiveness of sins. Do you value it? Now, what's one of the ways we show that we value the forgiveness of sins? Well, the Lord makes that plain in Psalm 130. If thou, O Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And there is a way in which we show to the Lord that we value forgiveness, that we value that we are not guilty. It is this: we fear him. We cultivate this fear within our hearts. We have this deep respect. When you think of forgiveness, are you led to have a deep respect of the Lord? We ought to bless him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So firstly then, the pure in heart are not guilty. Secondly, the pure in heart are accepted as righteous. The pure in heart are accepted as righteous. The apostle wrote in Philippians 3 verse 9, and be found in him, having not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. See what the apostle is saying there? Not having my own righteousness, but he has a righteousness which is covering him, the righteousness which is of God by faith, the righteousness of Christ. Romans 4 verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. We're thinking of a righteousness by faith, the righteousness of Christ. And they are count, the believer is counted as righteous because of the righteousness of Christ. Romans 5 verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. They're accounted as righteous, pure in heart. We're pure in heart, dear child of God, because we're not guilty because of Christ. Secondly, we are pure in heart. We are accepted because of Christ. Accepted in the beloved, as we read in Ephesians. Christ's righteousness covers us. And this is declared plainly in the Song of Solomon. 1 verse 5. Song of Solomon 1 verse 5. We see what we are by nature, but then we see what we are because of Christ. I am black but comely. I am black but comely. Blessed are the pure in heart. Yes, of themselves, there's that sin within, but because of Christ, they're comely. They are pure in heart. Comely in the eyes of the beloved because of his righteousness. Now let me ask you, are you comely in the eyes of Christ now because of his righteousness? Does he look on you because of his righteousness as pure in heart? Now if you think of these first two things, we ought to be thankful for justification, that we are pardoned all our sins and accepted as righteous. So we're thinking here, the Lord is thinking firstly and secondly, in these things here, of one who is pardoned and one who is accepted as righteous, one who is justified. But let's proceed a little further this morning as we think of the pure in heart. Thirdly, the pure in heart have that principle of grace within. The pure in heart have that principle of grace within. They have a new heart. Turn with me to Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. There's a new heart. We naturally think of a new life, but let's think of a new heart, and therefore there is a new man within. The apostle writes in Ephesians 4 verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now as we think of the putting on, we think there of acting or doing in a way that is agreeable to that principle of grace. but you put on the new man. Gill writes, it is the walk in our lives and conversations agreeable to the new man. You put on, you do. Yes, there is still indwelling sin, but oh, there is that principle of grace within. There is the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The pure in heart have that principle of grace within. They're not perfect, and we know that, dear brethren. But having that principle of grace within, the child of God knows what it is to think in a holy way. They know what it is to act in a way which glorifies God. Their motives are not mixed. They know what to do. Yes, they're still indwelling sin. But because of that principle of grace, they know how to act in a way which glorifies God. The pure in heart have the principle of grace within. There's a new man within. There's a new heart, as we see in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Blessed are the pure in heart. Have you that principle of grace within? Which, as the apostle writes, after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's no hypocrisy, no, there's true holiness. As we think of this, dear brethren, act accordingly and be concerned about perfecting holiness. The Lord has put that principle of grace within. You have that new heart, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, act accordingly. Now, we have a battle on our hands, as we saw Wednesday evening. For there is indwelling sin, and we need to war, and we must make no peace with our indwelling sin. But always we think of that principle of grace, act accordingly, and be seeking to perfect holiness. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 we read, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see that activity there? Perfecting holiness. Bring it to completion. Now no one's perfect and we will not be perfect till death. But there's that goal, there's that aim, there's that activity. Perfecting holiness. The principle of grace is within. You're described as one who is pure in heart. So then, we're to be perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Remember, what's a sign that we value forgiveness? Well, it's this, that we fear God. Well, in the fear of God, we ought to be concerned about perfecting holiness. That's a lifetime's work. 4:30 then. The pure in heart have that principle of grace, that new life, that new man within. They have eyes to see, hands to so serve the Lord. Fourthly, the pure in heart are found hating sin. The pure in heart are found hating sin. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now the heart can be pulled. A temptation can come and the heart can be pulled. But the believer knows what it is in their life to hate sin. They hate the impurity. You recognise that? They hate the impurity within. Now Jesus said in John 3 verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Men loved darkness. And think of those who are in darkness. There's the love of darkness, and therefore there is the love of sin. However, the believer who is described by the Lord as one who is pure in heart will be found in their lives hating sin. The sin of others, but then particularly their own sin. We don't like impurities, do we? You have a glass of water. And you look at the glass and it looks clear, but then you begin to look a little closer and you see the impurities. And you don't like those impurities. We don't like the impurities within, do we? We need to examine ourselves. Listen again to the Puritan Jeremiah Bowes. He comments on this verse. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that though I have many evils in my heart, yet they are such things that are loathsome to me. The Lord knows all things. And there the Puritan's saying, the Lord knows that he doesn't like the sin within his own heart. Can you be honest before the Lord this morning? Lord, thou who dost know all things, thou dost know that I do not like the sin within. Dear brethren, when we really think about it, do we love the impurity within? No. The apostle made that plain in Romans 7. He's found doing those things which he hates. So fourthly, the pure in heart will be found hating their sin. Those who are not pure in heart, the unconverted, as our Lord makes plain, love darkness and love the deeds of darkness, sin. Fifthly, the pure in heart seek to act by good principles, have good motives, and right aims. The pure in heart seek to act by good principles, have good motives, and right aims. Proverbs 21, verse 8. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. Now let me say again, there's indwelling sin, and so there's a matter. But the believer knows what it is to act from a good principle. Let me just simply illustrate this. The believer will know what it is to act from a principle of love as they follow Christ. Be ye their followers of God as their children and walk in love. Says the apostle in Ephesians chapter 5. There's this walking, and so there will be this acting in light of love. But as for the pure, his work is right. They will seek to act having good motives and good ends. The believer will seek to aim at the glory of God. The believer will seek not to do anything in the hypocritical way, or way of hypocrisy rather. They seek to aim at God's glory and acting in a sincere way. Dear brethren, do not we seek out of love to act in a meek way? Do not we seek to act for the glory of God and for the good of others and for the good of our souls? Yes, we fell, but our aim is good. And we are found acting out of a good principle and with a good motive. How we need to examine ourselves. Now, I know some of you have got exams at this present time. But what is the purpose of the exam? It's not just to fill up the time, is it? It's to test you. We need to be testing ourselves every week of the year. Examining ourselves. And as we think of this, the pure in heart, and that they will seek to act out of a right principle, a good motive and a good end, we need to say to ourselves, why am I doing this? Why am I saying this? How am I doing it? We need to examine our motive. Why did we say that thing? Why did we do that thing? Was it for God's glory? It's a very high standard, isn't it? And I fell so often. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we need to examine our words. Examine our motives. Examine how we're doing things. Are we doing it for God? Are we doing it for the benefit of others? Or are we doing it just for ourselves? The pure in heart, though they fail, they will seek to have good aims. They will be found thinking upon that which is pure, and so seeking to live their lives in light of it. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. The believer will be known for sincerity, the pure in heart. Search me, O God, says the psalmist, and see if there be any wicked way in me. The pure in heart will be found asking the Lord to search them. Because the pure in heart want to so live for God's glory. Sixthly, the pure in heart long after more purity. The pure in heart long after more purity. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now we think of those whom the Lord is describing, the Lord's people, and they're calling on him out of a pure heart, and they're seeking to follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Well, Timothy is exhorted to go with them. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, they're described as one having a pure heart, and they long for more purity. The pure in heart will long after more purity. They will seek to turn from impure things, and there will be a desire to be following righteousness, as we see there in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. And dear brethren, when we think of those words to young Timothy, do not we desire to be more holy? Do we not desire after more purity? Do you know what it is to be fed up with yourself or unhappy? Sometimes I see children and they're fed up. You children here, do you ever get fed up? Fed up of doing certain things? For a number of years I used to be fed up doing my paper round. Every Thursday, unlike my sister, I never had help. And I used to have to do all the papers. And I would be fed up. I used to be fed up doing the coal scuttle every day through the winter. The winters used to last a long time when I was young. Don't last so long now, do they? You know what it is to be fed up? Dear child of God, do you get fed up with yourself? Fed up because of your indwelling sin. Yes, we've got so much to thank the Lord for. We've seen that already. We've been forgiven. We're accepted and the beloved. We've got so much to thank the Lord for. And we can rejoice in the Lord. And we ought to rejoice in him always. But oh, there's something within that brings us low so often. Do you get fed up with yourselves? Are you unhappy with yourselves at times? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I think that? Well, as you think of this, you're fed up. Do you not long after more purity? Can I honestly ask you? Have you this past month longed after more purity? Have you longed to be more holy? Do you desire to be more holy? To be more like Christ? As reading earlier today, in my reading at home, he has left us an example that we might follow in his steps. Do you not desire to be more like Christ, to follow in his steps? Just want to pause and ask you. Answer it honestly in your hearts. When did you last desire sincerely from the bottom of your heart to be more holy? And as a result, take certain steps to be more holy. You may say, well, that's a question to ask. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So it ought to be a question we ask each day. What steps am I taking to be more holy? When did you last long to be more like Christ, and as a result take certain steps to be more like Christ? What do we read in Peter? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's growing. We're not babies, are we still? Or are we growing? When did we last take serious steps to be more like Christ? The pure in heart will long after more purity. And I say further, they will desire perfection. As we see in Romans 7 verse 24. It won't come till death. But the pure in heart desire perfection. What a wonderful moment is coming for them. For their souls at death will be made perfect when they see God in heaven. Dear brethren, are you longing after perfection here below? You're longing for that day? Are you longing? You won't be perfect here below, but are you longing after perfection when you get there? Are you longing after being more pure, after more purity? Now, two further things in light of this description, then we'll draw to a close. Firstly, as we think of the pure in heart and dear brethren, as the Lord is describing us, firstly, be careful in the things we say, do, and look at. Blessed are the pure in heart. And that's how the Lord describes us. It ought to have an effect on how we live. It's not just the things we believe, it's the things we practice as well. Firstly, be careful with the things we say, do, and look at. Many of us have smartphones. I don't know why they call them smartphones. Mine don't seem to be very smart at times, especially when it gets damaged. But we got these phones, haven't we? And they can be a blessing. And on the phones, there is social media. Be careful. How many things have popped up that were not good for you? Be honest before the Lord. Which are not good for your soul. The phones are a benefit, aren't they? But they can be a hindrance to walking with Christ. Be careful with the things you watch on the television. Something comes up. Is it Christ glorifying? We've really got to be serious about this. Because the description of the believer is this, pure in heart. So the pure in heart in this 21st century will be careful with what they watch. Be careful with what you're reading. Is the book edifying? Does it help you in your walk with Christ? Or is it just to give you a pleasure in the heart without any thought of the Lord? Be careful what you're reading. Is there things that are not good? But because they're in a book, you can just quickly hide the book. Perhaps when somebody's coming. Be careful when you meet others of the opposite sex coming down the street. We need to have pure thoughts. We need to be so careful. If the Lord describes you as pure in heart, we need to be careful how we think of those who are of the opposite sex. Those of you who are married, seek ever to have right and pure thoughts of your spouse. And it's vital to pure intentions and not wandering sinful thoughts towards others. Many marriages in America have found themselves in great difficulties. And just over a year ago, there was a report, just as many Christian marriages as ungodly marriages in America have been in great difficulties. And one of the reasons is this, because of spouses being unfaithful to their spouse in their heart. We need to be so careful. Let us seek to be careful how we speak to each other in the church. The Lord describes us as the pure in heart. Therefore, we will seek to be careful how we speak to others in the church. So firstly, then, be careful with the things we say, do, and look at. Remember those words in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatsoever, think on those things. It implies then we need to be turning away our thoughts from impure things, impure thoughts. And we need to be thinking on that which is lovely, honest, pure. How blessed is the soul when they walk looking at the pure things, the good things, the honest things. And as we think of that, their eye so often is on Christ. I remember a number of years ago looking at those words. And yes, we can think of certain things which are of good report. They're lovely, pure. But again and again, we are led to consider Christ. Whatsoever things are pure. If the Lord describes you as pure in heart, you will be concerned to look on those things that are pure. Secondly, let it be seen that you are described as one who is pure in heart. Let it be seen. James 1 verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion and undefiled. There's the evidence. And so the pure in heart will be bearing evidence. By the things they do. Let it be seen. that the Lord describes you as one who is pure in heart. How we need to examine ourselves. How we need to question the things we are doing. Young people, question the things you are doing. Do they promote the glory of God? As I must question. Do they show to others that you are one who are blessed by the Saviour? Blessed are the pure in heart. At this time of year, the fruit is appearing on the trees. The fruit is seen. There will be the evidence. There will be the fruit that one is pure in heart. Well, we must close, for time has gone on. But secondly, as we close, we'll be very brief. A wonderful prospect, seeing God. A wonderful prospect, seeing God. Blessed are the merciful, rather blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Firstly, through faith, one sees God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Have you seen God through the eye of faith? Matthew Paul writes, men shall see by an eye of faith. Are you looking? Are you looking unto Jesus? Then the Lord describes you as one who is pure in heart. And dear brethren, we continue to look to God. This activity, Hebrews 12 verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look by faith, and what do we discover, and what do we continue to discover? That He is altogether lovely. We're seeing God through faith. The Lord has given us eyes to see. Are you seeing God today through faith? Are you seeing Christ through faith, that He is altogether lovely? We discover that He's altogether lovely when we by faith read of Him in the Word. So through faith, secondly, in worship, in the exercise of faith, in worship we see God. Psalm 27 verse 4, these amazing words. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. There's the psalmist. He's looking to that time when he will worship the Lord with the people of God, to behold the beauty of the Lord. One of the problems of modern worship is this. They have forgotten they have come to admire the beauty of the Lord. Oh, when you come to the Lord's Day, consider that you're coming to admire the beauty of the Lord. And are we not thankful we can take our eyes, as it were, off ourselves, and we can look to the Lord in worship and admire His beauty? In worship, we see God, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Thirdly, we shall see God in Christ at death. You remember Stephen, he was given that vision just before he was stoned to death. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. What a vision, what a sight. It was given to him to strengthen him as he came to the last, but also to encourage him of what he would see after he died. Dear brethren, you will see Jesus standing, and you will see him with the eyes of your soul, or the eyes of your understanding. Dear child of God, it will not be long till you see Jesus. Does that not bring joy to your soul? You long to see him? I had the privilege of both seeing my grandma and my grandmother just before they died and went home. And I remember seeing particularly my grandma, and I went to read with her and talk with her all those years ago. And I read the Word of God, I read Psalm 23, and I said to her, you're looking forward to seeing Grandad. She smiled. And then I said, you're looking forward to seeing Jesus. She didn't smile, she just beamed. And unknown to me, I was the last one in the family to see my grandma. For my grandma, 2 hours later, was beaming in heaven. She saw God. I will see God. That's the great hope, is it not? We will see God. One day the wait will be over, and we will see Jesus with the eyes of the soul, and we will admire His amazing and loving face. We will see Him. In the intermediate state, we will see Jesus. But then as we think of seeing God, fourthly, in the eternal state, we will see Jesus. The day of resurrection is coming, when the body will be reunited with the soul, and the child of God will see the beloved with eyes of flesh. Job 19, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. If I'm in heaven first, I will see him with the eyes of my soul. But on that great day, I will see him with the eyes of flesh. I will see God." Dear child of God, you're on your way to seeing God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall see him as he is. Oh, what splendor! We will be taken up with him. We will be lost in admiration. There will be lovely things to see in heaven and in the eternal state, in the heavenly world. Wonderful sights. We will be amazed at the perfection of our hands and of our whole bodies. We will admire other brethren, how holy they are, how perfect they are. But all our eyes will be found drawn back again and again to Jesus. For we shall see him, and we will be lost in love and praise. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace, not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And as we think of that, dear brethren, does it not spur us to long after more purity? Does it not spur us to so seek to live our lives more like Christ? We want to be more like him who is holy. Do not we desire these things? Dear brethren, remember the description. Yes, we fell, and I begin with myself. But remember the description and seek to live in the light of it, and seek to live your life in the light of this, that you are going to see God. And I close with this thought. I am so glad that when I see God, I will be perfect. But it still makes me want to be more holy until I see him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let the world know that you're going to see Jesus by the way you live, as we think of this description. Amen.